The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message.
Over this message this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Somebody say, I have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond to what you're saying to me today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to continue on our series, The Blood That Speaks. Somebody say, blood that speaks. Amen. And I really liked this image that I found on Google Images of the man being sworn in court. And the blood of Jesus is a witness. Amen. The blood of Jesus is either speaking for you or against you. It speaks for me if my faith is in Jesus. Right? If I'm born again, it speaks on my behalf. If I'm not born again, then it speaks against me, doesn't it? Right? Because I'm guilty. Amen? But how many in here are born again? Right? So the blood speaks on your behalf. And you can go back online if you want to see the past, I think, three or four messages we've preached on this, talking about the blood speaks that Jesus is coming again. And then the blood says that you're forgiven. Right? And today, I want to look at a few things that were on my heart to get to this whole time, but sometimes the Lord saves the dessert until after the main course, right? But the blood of Jesus promises you wonderful things. Let's say that again. Something good is going to happen to me. Amen. So that's why we come to Jesus, right? Because He's good. He's so good to us, right? And I heard someone on Christian radio, I'm so thankful for Christian radio stations. And, you know, when I was a younger guy, I had to go hunt for Christian music, right? And you had gospel quartets or nothing, right? And I had to go find it, Christian Supply on Division Street back in the day. And you'd put your little headset on and you could go down the aisles and they'd have little signs, you know. This section, you might find someone that sounds like Bruce Springsteen. This section, you might find something that sounds like Rat. This section, you might find, it's your gospel substitute, right? And I found Carmen, and I found Amy Grant, and I found Michael W. Smith, and I found Striper, and the list goes up, Petra, right? And nowadays, man, there's more than one station on with just all kinds of good gospel music. Praise the Lord for that. You know, really, it's becoming, people have less and less of an excuse to stay away from Jesus now. I mean, His stuff is just better. If you flipped around the stations at all, man, His stuff is just better. It's clean, right? It directs my attention to Him, not to lust or nasty stuff or whatever, you know. Man, He's so good. So thankful for that. Now, I was listening to one of the DJs this week, and God bless them, and they were talking about how they've been having some health challenges in their house and this kind of stuff, and just being real with people. You know, I appreciate people that are real with people, right? But they were talking about how Jesus understands my suffering because He suffered, and that, you know, I don't even want to think about what he had to suffer. So almost like, therefore, I can suffer because he understands my suffering. But there wasn't a connection between his suffering and your freedom from suffering. Amen? And that's what we want to look at today. Jesus' suffering was not so you could understand that he understands your suffering. Let me just put it to you this way. I've got four kids that I love with all my heart. And if we're out together walking the streets of, like we did in New Orleans a couple weeks ago, we went to Jesse's conference, and they're hungry and they haven't eaten all day, and I'm full, I've eaten. Well, kids, I understand your hunger. I was hungry once too. Oh, great, Dad, thanks. It just encourages me to know that you understand my hunger because you were once hungry. Somebody say, bowl. No, I'm going to feed my kids. What do you want? You want elephant ears? You want noodles? You want tacos? What's that place we went to? Cafe Munde, I think it was. Cafe Munde, where they give you those little powdered, sugared, fluffy pillows. And what do you want, kids? My wallet is your wallet. Amen. Well, the Bible says I'm wicked compared to how good my Heavenly Father is. What the blood of Jesus and the DJ, God bless them, they were saying, I don't even want to think about what he was going through. Well, guess what? We have to think about what he went through because your freedom is in it. Our freedom is in what Jesus did, what he suffered. And many have the attitude that Jesus' life was all about suffering. Well, no, we're talking a couple of days of his life. We're about suffering. He was blessed. He was not poor. He had a ministry. He supported many staff members. Do you remember in Bethlehem, he had rich guys looking for him, right? Praise the Lord. He lost everything because he gave everything at the cross. He gave his, they didn't take his life. He laid it down for us. Amen. But our key scripture today is Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. And it says this, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. That sound like a poverty God to you? That sound like a God of lack and not enough? Innumerable company of angels, right? Hallelujah. If you're reading Revelation about the heavenly city that's coming out of heaven, coming soon to a planet near you, you'll see words like streets of gold, gates of pearl. I mean, amazing, the God we serve, right? To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, somebody say, that's me. If you're born again, then you are registered in heaven. You have a reservation. You're not going to, anybody ever got to a hotel and realized you weren't registered? I remember a California trip we did, and I called ahead. I said, you know what, we're coming late, but we'll be there. We had attended a funeral. My uncle had gone on to be with Jesus, and we drove down further south because we wanted to go to Disneyland for a day. And we didn't get to the hotel till like 1 in the morning, I think, because we drove. And I called him. I said, don't give our room away. We're coming. Okay. And we got there, and guess what they did? They gave our room away. And it took us about 45 minutes at 2 in the morning or whatever it was to figure it out. But don't you know, you're not going to get to heaven if you're born again, and they're looking through the book. Now, how do you spell that name again? Who you with? What's your company's name? How much you got in the checkbook? Huh? No. If you have received Jesus as Lord of your life, you have a registration in heaven. Your name's in the book. Somebody say, my name's in the book. If it isn't, then you just pray and say, Lord, I give you my life. I receive you. I receive what you did. My son this morning was asking me, Dad, what's the difference between what we believe, Christians believe, and what this other group, he named a mainline alternate faith, you know? I said, son, based on what I've studied, I said, and I talked to him, you know, about my kids are great students. I said, have you ever heard that term, lowest common denominator from school? The lowest common denominator to me is how do I get saved? How do I get redeemed? Where's the hope for salvation in whatever faith you're talking about? Don't you know the only thing that you have to do, somebody say the only thing, the only thing that you have to do is put your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. Somebody say, done. You're saved. And I told him, I said, son, that faith and many others may recognize him, may talk about Jesus, may acknowledge that he died. Many of them don't believe he raised again from the dead. He was a prophet, a good man. But even if they do acknowledge it, they'll say things like this, yeah, but that wasn't enough. You also, in order to be saved, have to do this whole list of things. Knock on doors, advertise our group, right? A, B, C, D, E. You have to be doing all of these things in order to be saved. Somebody say, lie. That is not true. That's you saving you then. And don't you know, there was nothing I could do to save myself. They mocked Jesus on the cross and said, Jesus, if you're so good, if you're God, then save yourself. He chose not to because he was saving me. He was doing something for me and humanity that we could not do for ourselves. That's the lie of false religion, is that it's intellectual. It's you need to climb the mountain yourself. You need to do these things. You can rise above your own. You can do these things yourself. It's all about you doing it yourself. No, somebody say no. It's not about me or how bad I've been or how good I've been. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Period. Somebody say period. Right? Believers in Jesus, those who are born again, we don't do what we do and don't do what we do in order to be saved. We do what we do and don't do what we do because we are saved. Come on, church, right? Amen. It's a simple, even a child can understand that. But I got to do something. Religion will say, yeah, but you got to do something. You got to do something. Yeah, you do. It's called put your faith in Jesus. Somebody say, my faith is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm registered in heaven. Yeah, yeah. You just come running through the gates. You don't have to know a code. In the service industry, we get gate codes. And sometimes the gate codes are wrong. And the person isn't home. And then you got to look through the notes and you got to call the office and call their office and call the homeowner. And sometimes you don't get in the gates. And so they didn't get any service. But don't you know there's no expiration date on your registration? All you do is come and say, Jesus, I'm home. Praise the Lord, right? And don't you know that day is coming? But I'm rooting for the rapture. I don't know about you. We're either going by the way of the grave or by way of the trumpet. And I'll tell you what, we are closer and closer and closer to that trumpet, to the home call. Praise the Lord. And we meet in the clouds. Listen to the online. I've still got posted the first two messages of this. And man, we just get excited. You got to stay excited about the truth that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. So exciting. Praise the Lord. But you don't have to be afraid of dying, afraid of death. You don't have to believe for some sickness or accident or some bad thing to happen for you to die. When it's time for me to pass away, pass on to go home to be with Jesus, I believe I can just lie down and go to sleep and wake up in heaven. That happens to a lot of folks, right? Amen. Can you imagine that? Just lie down one night and go to sleep, open your eyes. Whoa, I feel good. I feel young. Wow, look at this place. And you start realizing you're home in heaven, just like that. Amen. Somebody say, that's that, man, God is good. God is good. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Again, we're in Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Somebody say, better things. Oh, is anybody believing for better things? I'll tell you what, in that conference that we attended, the visionary conference in New Orleans with at Covenant Church, Jesse Duplantis Ministries, I'll tell you what, he inspired and challenged me to be thinking of better things, bigger and better things. What has God put it in your heart to believe for? Write it down. Amen. Trust God for it. He told us one, I think it was the morning service, he said, go home to your hotel or wherever you're going, write down your vision list, things you're believing God for, and then stand on top of it for about 2 minutes, declare God's going to do it, and then stick it in your Bible and believe him. So God isn't asking you to figure it all out. He's just asking you to believe him. For God's just looking for somebody, church, to believe him. To believe him. Not to figure it all out, but just to faith it out, man. Believe him. Somebody say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe his word. And that brings me to today's message. That was the intro. Don't you love when the Holy Ghost just takes over, right? He is so wonderful. Who has believed our report? That's what it says in Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report, God is asking. Somebody say, I am. I believe. We can be like the one guy that said, Jesus, help my unbelief. I believe. I believe you, Lord. Amen. So what's the blood say about you? What's the blood of Jesus say about you? Somebody say, I believe it. Whatever it says, I believe it. We've got to become a church that believes in taking all. Somebody say, all. If somebody spilled their blood for me, I'm not going to insult them by turning anything down. Think of all the soldiers that gave their lives on the field of battle so we could be a free country, a democratic country, a Christian country, free to preach the gospel, free to have capitalism and build businesses and have families and not be afraid of walking down the streets and some other nation taking. Who's thankful for our troops, right? God bless them. God bless them and our nation, right? I refuse to dishonor them by voting people into office that are adamantly opposed to everything they died for. And I don't think they died on the field of battle thinking, I'm giving a man the right to marry another man. I'm going to lay my life down. No, I'm laying my life down so somebody can smoke weed. No, I'm laying my life down so someone can disrespect the flag. No, I'm laying my life down so someone can worship Buddha. No, no, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. It was so God can have this country and use this country as a weapon in his hand. Don't you know God has used this country more than once to bring peace to the world, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And how much more the blood of Jesus and what he did for you. Somebody say, I'm taking all that he has done. Now, last week we talked about the blood says, blood that speaks. The blood speaks and says you are forgiven. Somebody say hallelujah, right? That is the place to begin, right there. But see, so many people end there. How dare I think or ask or believe for anything else than I got my registration in heaven. Now, praise God, if we had to pick something, that'd be the one. How many know? If I have to live on hell on earth for 90, 100 years to get to a great eternity, man, I'll take it every time. But if there's more, I want to know about it. Because I'll tell you what, Jesus didn't let them lay his back open, for one example, so you could be healed when you get to heaven. How many know that's for now? Everything Jesus did in this wasn't just for eternity. It's for now. Somebody say now. Amen. Now what I did was I took every place that it talks about Jesus shed blood. And in the Old Testament, the priest, before they would sacrifice the lamb, they would examine the lamb to make sure it was pure, to make sure it was clean, didn't have any diseases. They would go through a checklist and examine the lamb before they would slaughter it, before it was an acceptable sacrifice. And that's what they were doing to Jesus. They were examining him. Remember the stories. Pilate examined him. The Sanhedrin examined him. They put him through all these trials. They didn't know he was the Lamb of God. All these other lambs and bulls and doves and pigeons and all these things that they said, all the animals, they were rehearsals for what Jesus was going to do once and for all. Glory to God. Amen. So let's look at this. And I have them in your notes there, so you don't have to turn to them. You can if you want to, but we'll be moving quick. Luke 22 is going to be a big chapter, Matthew 27 and John 19. But Luke 22:44 says this, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." We're talking here about the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And if you'll remember, our lives were lost in the Garden of Eden, weren't they? When Adam forsook his place with God and ate the fruit, we all know the story, and the whole curse, death, came on this planet because of that sin. Well, here we are in the Garden of Gethsemane all these years later, and we've got Jesus, who they refer to as the second Adam, right? The firstborn of many brethren now. And instead of saying no to God and yes to what I want, he was saying no to what I want and yes to God. Amen? And he was under such pressure. And I did some study on this. They say that oftentimes this can happen. This is not a fictitious thing. Well, he was just sweating so much. He actually, blood was coming out of his pores. And I did some research on this, and they say that prisoners that are awaiting execution, oftentimes this happens to them because they know they're about to die. Now, Jesus, yeah, God the Son, but he's also a man. And he knew this was going to be an awful thing that he was about to do, right? Amen. So the blood, he was under such pressure and the fear and the worry and the dread and the remorse and he was in such turmoil that he was tempted at that point to just flush it all, just forget it, you know? But he did not, did he? So what does this tell you and me? Well, I just put in one word, the blood speaks and says, I'm free. This set me free from the power of sin, right? From the power of fear, from the power of worry, from the power of dread. I remember Pastor Huck in our Bloodbought presentations would say, this is where my willpower was given back to me. Because Jesus overcame right there. And for every drug addict, every person that's got an issue with sin in their life or whatever it is, here is your victory right here. This is where your victory was won. Somebody say, the blood says, I am free. I'm free. Amen. Now, it may not seem like it. You may still be having challenges and things in your life, but go back to that big B right there where it says, who has believed our report? Somebody say, I believe that I'm free in every area of my life. Praise the Lord. And you can confess this over your family, over your kids. Man, you go to prayer and you take nothing less. Why? Because blood was spilled for my freedom. I refuse to neglect it or ignore it or treat it little. Oh, poor little Jesus. I don't even want to think about it. I have to think about it because my freedom is there. And others' freedom will come through you getting free. That's why the devil hates this message. Well, I know I lost him to heaven, but boy, if I can just shut him up, on this planet. Keep them enslaved, keep them in bondage, keep them addicted, and they can just talk the grace, the grace, the grace. No, 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 no. No, come to the blood, the blood, the blood, and get set free, free, free. Amen? Look at this. Luke 22, 63 and 64 says this. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. This is at the Sanhedrin. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who struck you? Right? So again, Jesus was shedding blood from his head, from his face, right here. Amen. And it says in other parts of the Bible, at this same moment, they were spitting on him. Right? And we'll see that again later. But just, we'll get to that in a minute. But the thing that jumped out at me here is that those people that were religious authorities that represented God were rejecting him. So the blood speaks right there and tells me this. Steve, you're accepted. You're accepted. Religion will tell you this. You're not good enough. Yeah, Jesus did that, but it wasn't good enough. Whoa, ho, ho. Contraire, mon frère. Right? The man shed blood. It was good enough. It was acceptable. Amen? What does that mean? That means you, with your faith in Jesus, can come to God face to face, and He will not turn you away.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free, full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington, 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.